Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it's been already just being in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of James in chapter 4. James in chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 13 down to verse 17. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. In this particular passage of Scripture, James is addressing those that are living their lives without considering God. Those that are living their lives without considering the presence or the will of God in their lives. James chapter 4. Let's look here, verse 13, read down to verse 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, Lord, thank you for what we've already received and just being in this place today. Thank you for the Sunday school and then for the congregational singing and for the special music, and what a blessing. Thank you most of all for your presence in this place. And now as we look into this passage of Scripture in the book of James, I pray that you would give each one of us that insight that we have need of to understand what you are wanting us to receive from this passage of Scripture. I ask God that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So James is addressing those that are living their lives without considering God. And he uses that phrase, go to now. The very same phrase he uses in chapter 5, verse 1. He says, go to now, ye rich man. And that go to now would be like we would say, come on now. Come on now. You're that think this way, and what's going on in your house? Come on. And so we find that that's what James is doing. He's saying, go to now, ye that say. And this is the mindset. This is what they're doing. This is how they're living their life. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. I mean, having their life, you know, planned, knowing what they're going to do for that year. Already have it planned, knowing that I'm going to do this and that, and I'm going to do this, and we're going to make this kind of money, and that's what's going to take place for this next year. And they think that, as many people today think, that they're in control of things. I've got everything in order, everything in place, and I know what's going to take place. I know it, I've already thought about it, and these are my plans, this is what's going to take place. And I'm in control of my life. And he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. But the next phrase he says, for what is your life? And I think that that's a question there that all of us need to really look at. How are you living your life? What is going on in your life? What is your expectations? What are your plans? What is God doing in your life? What is your life? This is the last Sunday of 2013. I don't know if things went as planned last year or not. For most people, they don't. You think one thing, you think this is what's going to happen this year, and this is where I'm going to be by the end of next year, and for whatever reason, it's not always where I thought I'd be, or didn't happen the way I thought it would happen. So we can't do anything about 2013. It's over. But we have 2014. What will happen and what will be your life in 2014? Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What could one day bring? Not only what could one year bring, he's saying right here, you're planning a year, but you don't even know for sure what tomorrow is going to bring your way. Right. In Proverbs 27:1, you don't have to turn there. Let me read it to you. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day, not only a year, but what a day may bring forth. What could one day bring? Now, history holds some great illustrations. We think of the Titanic. Those that got tickets to ride on that first huge major ocean liner thought they were privileged. They thought that everyone's looking to have this ticket, and we have it because of who we are and what we have, and we're going to be on this historical first voyage of this great ship that has been said that God could not even sink it. And they had their life planned, especially this voyage and the enjoyment that this is going to bring to them. And from this point on, it's going to be historical. We're going to go down in history as those that were on this maiden voyage of this Titanic. And even the night before, they were enjoying life and they were partying. And who knows all that was going on that ship right before it struck the iceberg. What would happen just 24 hours later? I don't think there was a person on that ship that would have thought that they would be in the ocean freezing to death and possibly most of them losing their lives. Pearl Harbor. Impacted the United States of America. Those that were on the island and what was taking place in their life had no idea what would take place within 24 hours and how it would change the history of America. 9/11. Things that morning, people going to work, the Twin Towers, no doubt, all the different lives of those that lived, that were working in the Twin Towers, thinking about vacation, thinking about their future, thinking about what they were going to be able to do, what they were going to be able to accomplish, all the great things and all the things that were taking place in each one of the lives of those individuals that were in the Twin Towers. Went through a terroristic act. Planes flew into the towers within 24 hours. What a day may bring forth. 1,000 things could happen within 24 hours. A robbery? You didn't think it was going to happen. Somebody breaks into your house. Changes the rest of your life, if you even have a life to live after someone breaks in. That was not in the plans. A heart attack, a stroke, a clear mind, have it all planned out until something you didn't realize was taking place inside of your own brain, and there was a blood vessel that bursts. Changed your life forever. A car wreck. As I was planning this, I was working this message, and I was praying in the illustrations, and one of those was a car accident. You never know what a car accident, something that's beyond your control, how it could change your life. There have been many of people that have been maimed and possibly lost their lives or lost the lives of their children just because of a car accident. I had that on my mind Friday as I was coming back to the church after running some errands and doing some things, and I was in the right hand of a two-lane turning lane, and the light turns green. And the light turns green, you go. And both of us in the first lane started taking off to make the turn. This car, I wondered, the last thing I thought is, why is he stopping? And I kept going, and I didn't see the car that was coming through the red light until I got in front of this car. And then I looked, I hear screeching, and I looked, and here is the bumper that come into my car. Could have changed my life for the rest of my life. A couple inches back this way, the front end of the car took most of the impact. It completely spun me around. And I'm thinking, what is going on? You know, how it goes so fast. And then I'm thinking, not my car. Not my car. But I'm thankful that I had a car that was heavy enough to withstand such an impact. If it would have been a smaller car, if I would have been out just a little bit farther, if there would have been somebody, a little baby in the back seat, it could have been a totally different situation. But I had that in my mind, a car accident. You might be a good driver. I can't remember the last time I was in a car, back in my teens, because I've avoided a lot of those because just seeing it ahead of time. This is something that I could not have avoided. I didn't. The car was blocked out. It's not how good of a driver you are, is you're at the mercy of whoever is in the other car. Driving down the road, two-lane road, you're 6 feet from death at any moment. 6 feet. About how much distance it is from that car swerving over, making contact with your car. Many have lost their lives. Many have left thinking one thing, plans, because of an accident, a car accident, their lives will never be the same. Wow. I don't know that I really wanted to experience that for an illustration this morning, but it does bring it, makes it more real. So James asks the question, what is your life? What is your life? James describes our lives on earth. That's what he's describing when he says, he answers that question, what is your life? And then he answers it and he says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then this physical life is gone. It vanisheth away. A vapor, something transitory, a definition, something transitory, a visible exhalation, something that comes out of something else that's really not what that is. It's just a vapor. It's not permanent. On earth, it is brief. But it's also eternal. Human life, on earth, it's brief. It's as a vapor. But we also know that it is of God, and God is eternal. Genesis chapter 2, I love that because it's a vapor. You know, life was breathed into dust. Our lives vapor, breath, a visible exhalation, something transitory. In Genesis, in chapter 2, in verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." First man, first woman, God formed man out of the dust of the ground, formed woman out of the rib of man, which came from the dust of the ground. "And breathed into his nostrils." This vapor that came out of the very mouth of God. "Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." That breath that would become humanity was the breath of God, and that's why that is eternal. That's the spirit of each and every one of us here. It's eternal. Life was breathed into dust. Life was given to us for God's pleasure. And that life was also designed to reproduce. And very important to realize that. What God breathed into us was designed to reproduce more life. The very same life that God breathed. The very same life that would be eternal. And so we find here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Meaning it was designed to reproduce. But life would face death. Life would face death before they would even have a chance to reproduce. In Genesis in chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now again, James is asking the question, what is life? Well, in order to know exactly what our life is all about, we have to look to the one who gave us life, who created life. And that's what the Bible says about it. This life was given to us by a vapor, by the very breath of God. This life was designed to reproduce. God created man to reproduce. Eternal reproduction. In God's image, in God's likeness. But before man would reproduce, we find that he would face death. And that death would mean a separation spiritually from God. And that death would mean a physical aging that would lead to a physical death. And now that man has incurred this curse of sin and death, his offspring would have this passed down to him. So now for the rest of human life, every child that is born with this very same curse of sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So life would face death before they would reproduce. Now, after they faced death, the love of God did not forsake them, and the love of God did not turn away from them. We find that spiritual life was made possible once again. Spiritual life was made possible to Adam and Eve if they would just receive the coat and the blood sacrifice. And that would be symbolic of the coming of the Christ child. That would be symbolic of Jesus Christ. Life would be made possible once again through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, looking forward to his coming. In the New Testament, looking back to his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. Stay with me here. Because what is your life? And are you prepared for tomorrow? Are you prepared for 2014? If you're prepared for tomorrow, as God would have us to be prepared, you'll be prepared for whatever 2014 brings your way. In Romans in chapter 5, what is your life? Where are you at right now? What's going on? In Romans in chapter 5, again in verse 12, it says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If we look on down in chapter 5 and verse 18, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that was Old Testament, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So everyone here, your life is faced with death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You have opportunity in this life to receive the free gift of reconciliation to God. The free gift of eternal life. To be renewed in your spiritual relationship with God. And then we find the second death. This is life. You're born into this life, and during this time on this earth, the time that you have, you're going to face a physical death, but you can also have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ and have your spiritual life restored. Have a relationship to God restored. But then there will be a second death. The Bible, this is about life. The Bible says there's going to be a second death. Revelation, and we're in the book of Revelation on Sunday night. You want to come back tonight for that. But Revelation's in chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead. The dead. You saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So somebody that's dead is going to stand before God, yes. Those that have died once because of the curse of sin and they did not receive Jesus Christ, now after they've died physically and they've been separated from God, at the end, God's going to bring them back to stand before Him. Those that died once now will stand before God for a second death. That's what it's talking about. That's what it says. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, that hell is the grave, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That's the Gehenna hell. This is the second death. This is eternal damnation. This is where every spirit that God breathed life, that you were formed from, if you fail to be reconciled to God, then there is a second death, and the second death is an eternal damnation, a place separated from God for an eternity. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Wow. I would want to know, then, what do I have to do to get my name written down in that book of life? Amen. That Lamb's book of life? And the answer to that is, receive Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb. And when you receive Jesus Christ, your name is written down in that Lamb's book of life. If you're saved, you'll only die once. Physical death releases your spirit to immediately go into the presence of God where you'll never experience any more sorrow, pain, or dying. If you're lost, you'll die twice. A physical death, and then stand before God for a second death. That's life. What is your life? According to the Bible, that's what life is. That's what the Bible reveals to us about the life that we have right now. So with that, how do we prepare for 2014? Or for whatever a day may bring? Was I Friday? That would have been a semi, that would have been a bigger car, if that would have hit me just in the right place, I could be in glory. I thought about that. All the plans that I have for our vacations and all the plans I had seeing our grandkids being raised, all the plans I had for being the pastor of this church for this next year and all the things that I'm already planning on and instructing our staff here for our annual review of this next year and the goals that we're going to set and what we're looking to, would all been gone. Was I really prepared? How to prepare? James gives us that answer to that. Go back there and we're going to finish with this right here because he does answer that. He said, "Whereto go to now, ye that say, you're making decisions and plans and preparations without considering God." That's not how to prepare. That's not how to be ready for tomorrow, for whatever tomorrow holds. He said, "Your life is even a vapor. You know not what a day is going to bring. It's only here for a while. It vanishes. This physical life is only here for a short period of time, and it's gone, but eternity's forever and ever." Verse 15. "For that ye ought to say." How you ought to be living your life. "If the Lord will, we shall live." God's will for me was to live. No doubt there were some things that he had for me to learn and whatever it might be, and going through the loss and realizing that, yeah, I love my car, but it's a car. They can be replaced. Possibly a greater appreciation for life. Greater appreciation for family. Opportunities to serve. Make a difference. Greater appreciation for church. Greater appreciation for life. If the Lord will. He's the one that's in control of life and death. We shall live. And if you're looking and considering God, His will for your life, and do this or that, God still has you here for a purpose. And then verse 17, he says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good." You know what God would have you to do. You know that purpose. Don't ever let Satan blind you to that purpose for your life. God's will for your life. You know it to do good, and you do it not. You're living in sin. Every decision that we make ought, that's what he says, ought, that for that you ought to say. This is, God's not going to force you, but this is how to live your life. Every decision ought to include the will of God. And once you know it, just do it. That's why we're here. That's why we have life. do it. So what is the will of God? First and foremost, the will of God for your life, every one of us here today, the will of God for your life is that you get saved. Amen. You know you need to get saved. You come into the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know that you're living a life of sin, and you know that if you die without Christ, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Now's the time. Don't put it off anymore. You're thinking, well, maybe next year, or I've got some other things I want to get done, and I want to accomplish this, and I want to live this life, and I want to do these things, and later on I'll consider God. Later on I'll consider dedicating my life to Christ. Later on I'm looking to get saved. Listen to me. You don't know what a day may bring. Your life could very well end today. No, preacher, I'm young. I'm healthy. Six feet. Driving down the road, 6 feet from death. Doesn't matter how good of a driver you are. Who knows what's taking place in your brain? Who knows what kind of blood vessel might be on the verge of letting loose? Who knows what's taking place in your heart? Who knows when that last little plug is going to be stopped up and your heart's going to stop beating? There's no way. We know not. But God does know. He's an almighty, omniscient God. Get saved today. Too much at risk. Don't go another hour without knowing for sure that you've received the gift that God has for you. And it's God's will that all should come to the place of repentance. Get saved. Then once you're saved, live as God would have you live. Live to accomplish God's will for your life. You're going to have to battle Satan if you're going to do that. If you've been here for Sunday morning Sunday school and going through the trials, we understand that Satan is there working overtime to help hinder us from accomplishing what God has us here to accomplish. Spiritual battles. Today, if you're not saved, can I tell you right now, Satan is trying to convince you that today's not the day. Satan is trying to keep you from ever receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He's going to try to convince you that it's not real, you're a good enough person, that God will weigh the balance or whatever it might be. Listen to me, that is not the way it is. That is not truth. Satan's going to try to tell you that can't enjoy a life of serving God. What a lie. What a lie. This world cannot compare to what God has to offer. Serving. So what's your life? What is your life? I trust you would say, my life is Christ. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What confidence, what comfort, what peace of mind, what joy. Whatever tomorrow held for Paul, he said, the very worst. If my life is taken from me, it's gain. Amen. What a way to live. What is your life? And then simply, put tomorrow in his hands. I might experience another accident tomorrow. It might be that God takes me home in that one. If he does, he's the one that makes the call. If it's out of my control, it's in his control. I'm not going to let those things that I can't control control me. I put my faith and trust in God who controls tomorrow's. We can be prepared for whatever will be on the morrow. We can be prepared for whatever we might face in 2014. The question is, what is your life? What is your life? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Every decision ought to include the will of God. And once you know the will of God, you ought to just look to do it. Get saved. Live for God. Put tomorrow in His hands. If you'll do those things, you'll be ready for whatever tomorrow holds. Whether you'll do those things or not, it's up to you. God will never force you. But you've heard the preaching of the Word of God, and you know right now you're more accountable than what you ever were before. Possibly the last chance. I don't know. You might not ever have another opportunity to make the decision that you have an opportunity to make right now. By tomorrow, everything about your life could be changed. Make the decision today. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us here today. I pray that each one would have heard exactly what you had for them. And right now, during this invitation, Lord God, I pray that each one would make whatever decision